Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast, where we unpack the future of sales together. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. My name's Abby White. I'm the CEO of Sales Redefine and your host for this podcast. Today, we have with us Amy Gates, who is head of events for the APAC region and Japan for Zoom. Now, I think we've all become pretty well acquainted with Zoom over the past few years. I love the fact that Zoom is now a verb. But what was really fascinating to me about this conversation is how do we up our game when it comes to Zoom, when it comes to virtual events, when it comes to building relationship with customers, and also internal employee engagement as well. I definitely took away a raft of things that I didn't know. So I actually got quite interested in some of the new developments and things that we can do. And what we talked about, therefore, is how do you drive better engagement, both internal and external? How do you drive a better customer experience and user experience? What are some of the do's and don'ts that we need to be doing when it comes to virtual meetings and virtual events? What are some of the keys to success? How do you drive results and conversion? Not just put on a great event, but also drive that conversion piece. So we go through all of that during our conversation. So before we drive straight in, here's a tiny bit of background about Amy to get you started. So as I said, she's the head of Zoom events and an expert in sales, and her team are responsible for Zoom events, Zoom webinar, and Zoom mesh. And she uses her unique skill set of experience across both sales and event management to bring those together to engage customers and also engage employees with their events experience. She's got a fantastic background in both sales and leadership roles and is based in the Gold Coast of Australia. So without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited about this conversation, not only because this morning when Googling and stalking Amy, I have found out so many things about Zoom that I didn't know, and my poor team have been bombarded this morning going, did you know you can do this? So it's been quite an exciting morning. So thanks, Amy, on multiple levels.
No problem at all.
So I want to kickstart our conversation around the sales piece, really. I think it's such an interesting thing, particularly, you know, for me, when I look at when I first started in sales, we were taught so much around, you know, going and building that relationship, going out for lunch with the client. It was kind of quite traditional. You know, we all know the story, don't need to sort of rehash it around then having to switch to virtual. And then now, obviously, we've landed in hybrid. And it is a different beast and a slightly different skill set building relationships virtually. What have been sort of some of your, advice to sellers around how you start to build relationships in a Zoom capacity?
Well, in all honesty, now it's probably a little bit easier as well, because we're not actually limited anymore to just building those relationships, you know, with people around us geographically. You know, Zoom has been built to deliver limitless human connection through the one platform. And ultimately, you know, that does enable rich and immersive experiences to be able to build relationships with as well. If I look back, you know, as a sales rep for myself many years ago, I was always on planes. I was in the car. It was exhausting having to go and have, you know, all these in-person meetings. And, you know, also what the problem was with that as well is that I could only fit so many into a day. Whereas now with virtual, you can actually be more productive because you can have more meetings, more meaningful conversations, you know, and sort of like cut out all that travel time as well. So, yeah, you know, I think that we're in a very different world, like you said now. But it's interesting, you know, because a lot of people think of Zoom as just being a meetings platform, and they think that's the only way that they can connect and do business, you know, but we are much more than that. We've got so many different products that drive, you know, engagement, interactivity, meaningful connection and communication. You know, just to name a few, we've got Zoom Phone, Team Chat, Huddles, Sales IQ, Zoom Rooms, you know, events. So, you know, and if you think about events as well and webinars in particular, you know, they really do help to increase that engagement and build those relationships. And, you know, people can form social connections as well through the event technology, for example. So I still think that, you know, yes, it's very different, but I think that with the technology we've got now at our fingertips, it actually does make it easier.
It's funny how differently you look at things. I was looking at my diary for tomorrow and someone had booked me a meeting that's probably about an hour and a half drive each way. And I actually found myself looking at it going, whoa, where is, like, you know, I never would have thought twice about doing that. I used to commute into London every day and, you know, you do the travel. I do now find myself questioning, hang on, does that need to be an in-person meeting or can that be virtual? And what is more productive and what's appropriate? And you're right, you know, from a productivity lens, it really brings a different spin on it. And, you know, as a business owner, I also look at the cost savings as well of, you know, do I actually need to fly there or not? What's the appropriate format for this particular event or meeting?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about costs as well, obviously in the current macroeconomic climate that we're in today, you know, travel and logistics have just gone through the roof. So a lot of companies are actually cutting spend on travel, which ultimately means that their sales teams can't go out anymore and meet, you know, customers as frequently as they wanted to. So they have to, you know, find different ways in to be able to build those relationships.
Yeah. And it definitely opens up opportunities. I mean, for us during COVID, dare I say the word, you know, we started working with clients in the UK. We started working with clients in Singapore, in India. You know, there's like no geographic barriers now because no one cares that you're not just down the road.
Yeah, absolutely limitless now. So that's great. And, you know, and that is the power of virtual, you know, communication, is that you can do it anywhere, anytime. Doesn't matter where you are. You know, and obviously it's one of the most cost-effective ways in which you can do business.
Yeah. So I want to come back in a minute to your point around webinars, events, engagement, and so on. I've got a couple of points I'd love to talk to you about that. And I want to sort of stick with the sales guys for a moment. Are you, like with your sellers and with the salespeople you've experienced, are you giving them various guidance around how to be most effective when you're having a Zoom meeting? Are there sort of considerations that we should sort of bear in mind?
Look, we're fortunate here, you know, that we adopt our own technology and, you know, we really understand the power of, you know, what the different tools and the features can deliver. I think if you're talking about sales teams, you know, there's a number of ways in which we need to be able to train and enable our teams. First of all, and you know, we can do a lot of that, and obviously, you know, a lot of sales teams now are hybrid as well. Not everyone's gone back into the office, so we need to rely on technology to be able to do that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, broader strokes, absolutely, you know, we can train them on how to use the different technology to be able to enhance and engage people when they're in their meetings. But you know, we've also got other technology as well. Thinking about training, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, we're that one platform. So when you look at what Zoom can do, you know, from a sales perspective, if you're starting at a company, obviously you need to go through that enablement process, you know, training. So we can utilize our Zoom events platform for that. And whether you're in the office, whether you're at home, you know, you can still build that social connection with your fellow starters or employees. You can learn about the products and the services that you need to sell. And obviously, you know, you can go through all the different methodologies and processes. But then once you're sort of like getting into your role, then there's another piece that comes in, because we've got to maintain that coaching component, you know. And that's where Zoom Sales IQ would come in, which is an intelligent, you know, tool for helping sellers essentially sell better in their calls. So
can you tell us about that? Because that one, again, when I the research I've been doing before this conversation was quite interesting. I was like, I had no idea. Can you tell us about that? Because that would be really interesting to our sales audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I have to admit, I'm not the product specialist in Sales IQ. I'd focus on events, and that's where what we do here in our business. But look, you know, Sales IQ has been around about 12 months now, and essentially it's a conversational intelligence software, and it's been built to coach and improve a seller's performance. So essentially when they're on their call, the call will obviously be monitored, and you will then receive feedback through the AI, you know, and it captures things like, you know, what was your longest spiel? You know, were you listening in terms of, you know, what was your speaking versus your listening, your active listening? So it's really powerful stuff. We use it internally at Zoom with all of our teams. And as I said, it's just really changed the game in terms of how we then coach our teams.
Yeah. I think for me, the most interesting thing about it is telling me to slow down because I talk like the speed of light. So I thought that was quite an interesting part.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lots of different insights that you can gather from it. As I said, it's very, and I highly encourage anyone in the sales role to check it out.
Yep. And I think for me, just to sort of build upon what you said, I think there's also a couple of foundational basics I've found that, you know, even when we're meeting a client for a first time over Zoom, there's still that first impression. You know, yes, we all went through the period where, you know, we're working from home in your Zoom uniform of fancy on the top and not so much on the bottom. But, you know, are you still presented?
Has that changed?
You know, I've got jeans on. I'm actually going to stand up. I've got jeans on. They're not pajama bottoms today, I will admit. But I found for me there's coming back to that level of, are you presentable? I'm still very aware of, you know, we might not be as formal, you know, we're not necessarily suited and booted as such, but are you still looking professional, making that first impression when you're meeting that client? Like, I still care about that of, do you look professional? Not necessarily like internally, like we on a Friday typically don't have a meeting free day. If you turn up, you know, completely casual and it's just internal, you're not client facing, couldn't give a monkey's, come in your pajamas. But I think there's a couple basics like that that I feel we all fell off the horse of a little bit. And then it's almost getting back on to go, well, that first impression still counts, be it virtual, in person, and so on. So still, do you have a baseline level of presentation? And then to your point about, you know, the tooling that Zoom's providing, it still matters of, are we making sure everyone's included in the meeting? And, you know, am I listening? All those basics still apply. So for me, I've found myself coming full front and center back to the sort of foundational principles.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you know, for us, it's always video on. You know, we are a video first communication platform. You can't build any form of a relationship with somebody just by, you know, audio. People, you know, people buy from people they like, and they want to be able to see you and get to know you. So video is really key to that. Look, there are some tips and tricks. You know, you can enhance your appearance.
Yeah. How do I do that? Yeah. Maybe Photoshop.
When you're having those off days, but ultimately, you know, even when we're doing internal calls, you know, and we're talking to our teams, doesn't matter what role or what level, video has to be on, and we have to be able to see and hear each other. You know, ultimately, Zoom meeting is for team collaboration. Okay, so it's that two-way video call. So it, you know, it's not effective if you're turning the video off. It may as well just be a phone call.
Yeah, and that's actually quite interesting. We're finding there's such a hybrid of people turning up, some with video on, some with video off. And we know some of our clients have actually said, you know, you can't ask us to turn the video on. We as a company have a policy of, we don't, you know, if someone might be in a position where they're not able to turn their video on. So it's quite interesting to see how different people are approaching it. But I agree with you. I find it really challenging when you're having a conversation and I can't gauge your reaction. I can't feed off what I'm seeing and, you know, read the room virtually.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We know that there's always going to be instances whereby you just can't put your video on, you know. But we do encourage it here, obviously, because we are a video first platform. But again, we need to ensure that, you know, we are being able to read people as well. And you can't read someone if you're just looking at a blank screen. So,
yeah, no, I agree with you. So I'd love to talk about, sort of circle back on your point before around with Zoom events and webinars. And I kind of want to start the conversation there around, what are you seeing? Because it's an interesting one for me when we're talking to people about, could we do a webinar? A lot of feedback we're getting is, everyone's webinared out, you know, nah, let's go back to in person. And we're noticing a little bit of pushback on that at the moment. So I'd love to get your perspective first, and then I'll definitely give you my lens afterwards.
Yeah, I think the key thing to understand here is that we are in a very modern event landscape. So there is a place for every format of event, hybrid, in person, and virtual. We also have to think now that we've come out of the pandemic, right? And it was a big push to get back to in-person events because they were craving that engagement and they wanted to meet in person. subsequently, obviously, what's happened is we've gone into the current climate that we're in right now, and we are still facing challenges with events. Some of those challenges are the fact that we've got rising costs, you know, of in-person events, venue, food and bev, excuse me, catering, you know, transport and logistics. All those costs have gone through the roof recently, you know, so it's not as cost effective anymore to run an in-person event as it was prior to the pandemic. The other challenges we've got, as I mentioned it earlier, actually, you know, people or businesses are actually cutting their travel spend, which ultimately reduces foot traffic in in-person events. But not only that, the expectation now for attendees, and we hear this all the time from event organizers, is that we have to meet the attendees how, when, and where they want to consume content. We can no longer dictate as event organizers that, hey, we want you to come to our venue and only come to our venue, because the world now has changed and people are used to consuming content in various different formats. So flexibility is the key, okay? And you know, I've done a lot of webinars and I've been on a lot of panel discussions recently with CMOs and various other, you know, high profile people. And the general sentiment is we have to include virtual as a format. We cannot just expect them to come in person anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's really interesting. I push back very hard on that question when I get it. Some of the best sales and marketing campaigns we've done that have got the best ROIs have actually been virtual and have been event-based. And that's not just during pandemic times, that's also post-pandemic. For me, I think it's much more, have you got a really compelling topic and speakers and lineup, and you've made it just absolutely almost like that FOMO that, oh wow, I've got to attend, the one you see come through and it's like, I don't want to miss that, I want to go. So you got the same challenge of whether it's in person or virtual, is it compelling? We're all time poor, we're all, you know, saying we're super busy, and therefore is it enticing enough for someone to attend? And I agree with you, you know, when we look at it, we've got a webinar we're running tomorrow, and one of the reasons we've run it is because actually we can then go national, we can actually go so much further, we know we can get a better ROI by doing it that way. So I push back on it really hard and go, there is still demand for events, but I think in some ways you've got to work twice as hard for it, which isn't a bad thing, because you can't just throw on an event and everyone will come. You've got to really think about, what do the audience want? What's compelling? What's an enticing title? What's an enticing lineup? So it actually yields a good result, because you've got to really work to make it happen, if that makes sense.
Oh, I 100% agree. And we hear all the time that you know, our customers have got to do more with less. And if you think about, you know, again, that transition through the pandemic into virtual, people are used to consuming content. Mm. But the hardest part now, people like yourself and us that, you know, we're creating content, we now have to provide very unique and curated experiences to be able to deliver that return on investment that we need, okay? Interestingly, we've got a lot of customers here that run, you know, really large scale events. And prior to the pandemic, you know, they were doing like 13 cities around Asia. With obviously the shift to virtual, what that allowed them to do was to centralize all their events into one, expand it all to their global reach, but invest more money into their talent and their speakers. Mm-hmm. That really was that draw card, you know, for people going and not just registering, but actually attending and showing up and engaging. So that's, you know, that's one of the other benefits as well, is that, you know, with virtual, because obviously it's less cost as an outlay initially, you can then afford to invest more in the content and the talent for your event.
Yeah. And do you have any other, you know, from obviously you guys get an awesome view, right? Because you see what everyone's up to and what everyone's doing. Do you have any sort of keys to success, I guess, for running a fantastic virtual event, and things you've seen done really well that any of the marketers listening can use as some great inspiration?
Absolutely. Look, events in any format need planning, preparation, and collaboration, okay? It doesn't matter whether it's in-person or virtual. It's, you know, the misconception I think about virtual events and is that they don't really need to plan as much or prepare. And I'm like, no, you know, it still requires the same amount of effort, And obviously to ensure that, you know, everything goes with a smooth show flow. In terms of, you know, the keys to success, again, going back to, you need to obviously craft your content to be engaging. Okay. We've got all the tools in the world that can drive engagement, but ultimately, if the subject of your discussion is not engaging or exciting your audience, you're not going to get the return that you need.
Yeah, I agree. We recently launched a membership, and we chose to do the membership virtual and do it on Zoom, and it runs once a month. And we decided, as part of it, from doing a lot of research and a lot of feedback, was that we would do breakout sessions within the event. And that has been unbelievable. When we've now gone back around all of our members and gone, what do you love? What's your feedback? What's working for you? What's not? Everyone has talked about how much they love the breakout rooms and the opportunity to engage and interact. And then what we're finding is, because there's the engagement, it's then giving us better attendance. Because there's all of that, there's also better interaction. We also researched it really heavily around then, well, when you're engaging in that learning process or that learning experience, you're then going to have better retention, you know, and, yeah, and so on. And so therefore your learning outcomes are going to be a lot stronger. You're going to get better ROI on your investment. So we've actually found that to be really, really, really powerful now, and also mixing it up. So no longer is it just, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to sit and listen and I'm being sort of talked at. I've actually got that opportunity to engage, to interact, and the feedback we've had off that has been incredible.
Great. That's really good to hear. And you know, you raise an interesting point there about, you know, that breakout space. And if you think about, you know, we've got tools here at Zoom, for example, Zoom events, that really helps to drive that. You know, if you're looking at, if you've got different multi-session agendas, for example, but you still want to move into breakout rooms or have different tracks, concurrent sessions taking place at the same time, you know, you can deliver all that within one event seamlessly. You mentioned earlier about, you know, some of the other things. Well, you know, if you're looking, for example, if you're in marketing, you know, obviously one of your KPIs and your success metrics are going to be lead generation. Okay. And, you know, obviously for your sales teams to be able to follow up on and create top line revenue for the business. So we've got, you know, many different ways within an innovation that we've now recently developed and put out that will help to drive those qualified leads. Registrations to us or to me don't really convert into a qualified lead.
Yeah.
Pretend, you know. Whereas now, when, for example, in webinars, we've got call to actions that you can activate that really drives that engagement and is also measurable. So when you're talking about success, obviously everything has to be measured. And that is the wonderful thing about virtual events that you might miss in person in particular, because the insights and analytics that you get that comes through from capturing the attendee behavior.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. So one of my biggest bugbears was, this is therapy, it's great. One of my biggest bugbears was when people were saying to us, webinars don't work, we've tried it and they don't work for us. And we would listen back to what they'd done previously and we would hear the whole webinar. And then at the end, we would hear, thanks for coming. There was no call to action. We've got a webinar with a client tomorrow and we have spent so much time talking about what is the call to action going to be? What is the right call to action? Where are we going to have the call to action? How are we going to make sure it's a no-brainer? And exactly what you said, that's how you can then get the ROI out of your Zoom event, your Zoom webinar, because you've leveraged that call to action. And I think too many, for me, it's been put in this bucket of webinars don't work. Well, it's kind of not all things are equal. You need to look at if the purpose is lead generation, then absolutely, have you got that call to action? I'm so glad you talked to that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, for us, you know, if you think about sales and marketing and how they align, obviously they've got one shared common objective, right? And that is to generate business for the company and generate revenue. So, but sales teams can't do that without those qualified leads. And, you know, here at Zoom, we were sort of like looking at our innovation, being like, well, how can we drive that? Obviously, we're now in a very different world. People are used to webinars, but when we look to the challenges that we just mentioned earlier, you know, how do they generate those leads and create that revenue? So we built those tools and innovations within our products to deliver that. So I'll show you them so you can have a look and check them out.
Well, I was actually going to ask you about that. And that, you know, I am intrigued about some of those new announcements and some of those new innovations, because I think that I'm going to be really honest and say what you probably shouldn't say. I think that I'm probably basing some of my Zoom knowledge on just you go in and you do the same thing every time and that's what you've done. And you've never actually played around and explored and gone, oh, I didn't realize you could do that. Or, oh, I didn't know you could do that. And this morning has been like an education process for me. So it would actually be interesting to get you to talk to some of the new announcements, because I think, you know, certainly for myself, I've seen 3-4 opportunities I've already sent to my team this morning on this is how we could actually drive better engagement, better conversion, better outcomes, and so on. So do you want to talk to that for a minute around the new announcements that have just happened?
Yeah, absolutely. So the start of the year, we launched a new single session event platform called Zoom Sessions, which has been built specifically for, sales and marketing professionals, really to elevate the current webinar and meeting experience. Okay. If you're thinking about marketing, obviously you've got success metrics around, you know, your brand identity and increasing brand awareness in particular. And that's obviously important to every business. So the platform now really allows you to create a beautifully branded, immersive experience, even if it's just for that single session. But it does deliver premium production tools that will actually enhance the production output, the quality. One of them, obviously, we mentioned was the in-session resources, which is your call to action to drive that qualified lead. We also have a Simulive webinar. And just going back to one of your points from earlier, you know, about expanding that reach globally. The biggest pain point for event organizers is that when you've got, you know, you're based in APAC, but you've got to then do a webinar for EMEA or your North American teams, it means you've got to be up at crazy hours of the night. And if it's the same message that you're communicating to all teams just in a different time zone, well, then let's automate that. So we now have Simulive webinar, which allows you to pre-record your webinar content, upload it as an MP4 file, and that can be scheduled to be an automated play. But the beautiful thing is that to the audience, it plays out as though it is actually live. So, you know, if they come in like 5 or 10 minutes late, they will have missed 5 to 10 minutes of that session. They can't rewind it, can't fast forward, but the great thing is that you can still have that live, you know, engagement with your Q&A and your webinar chat. So again, to the perception to the audience as though it's live, but to you guys, ultimately, it's saving you time and resources. There are the others as well. I mean, I could talk about events forever. There's a million things I could tell you. But one of the other things that we're also doing is, you know, Abby, yourself, you do a lot of webinars, okay? And you probably don't want to invest in, you know, AV companies because they're pretty costly and et cetera. So we are about to launch a new production studio, which is specifically for live webinars. And that will ultimately give all of our event organizers the controls to be able to deliver a premium output. You know, so think about custom layouts and scenes, changing your aspect ratios, more broadcast television look and feel. So in the innovation of our, you know, webinars and virtual events, where we are today and also where we're going is going to look very different in a few months' time.
Yeah, that's incredible. And what I love about it is it's now so cost effective, whereas like a few years ago, that would have cost a fortune. It's sort of, you know, you would have been involving the AV company, you would have been involving the events company, you know, whereas now it's actually very, very affordable to be able to do it.
That's it. And the great thing is, you know, everyone is familiar with Zoom. Everyone is familiar with how easy the interface is and how easy it is to navigate. Well, we've developed all of our latest products and innovations with that simplicity in mind as well. So it's the same familiar interface. We don't want to make it too hard. If you make it too hard, people won't use it and they won't turn up. So
we've covered massive ground there on events, from, you know, how to make it engaging, how to make it, you know, appear high quality and premium, making sure you've got a call to action and so on. If you sort of had to leave people with almost like one thing of don't forget this or start here, or just sort of boil it down to make it simple if someone's feeling really overwhelmed, what would sort of be your key takeaway around events? Or virtual events, I should say.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's quite a broad question because obviously it really depends on what people's objectives are and what they are, you know, they're looking to achieve. Again, as I said, a lot of people, I think one of the biggest thing myths about the industry as well is that in-person events are the ones that drive success. I mean, definitely not. Hybrid events can ultimately achieve the same success metrics that you're looking for from an in-person. But, you know, as I mentioned before, planning and preparation, really understanding your audience, you know, does your content and, you know, appeal to that audience? Is it going to be engaging? Because if it's not, as I said before, you can have the best technology in the world, but it won't deliver the output that you're looking for.
Yep, I agree entirely. It's that anyone can throw on a webinar. It's having the intention behind the webinar of the right case studies, the right speakers, yeah, the right content that people, when I always think of it as when you're 5 minutes before a webinar and you see the reminder come through and you're like, oh, I don't really have time for that. I registered for it. I really wanted to attend, but nah, this has come up. It's got to be so compelling that it's like, nah, I'm going to make time for that because I really want to hear X, Y, Z.
Yeah, but don't forget, one of the beautiful things about virtual is that if somebody does miss the live event, you know, and things do pop up, it's the world that we live in, right? But they can still come back and watch that on demand, you know, so you can create like a central repository for all of your webinars and your contents through the events platform, which means that anyone can come back at any time and watch on demand and catch up.
Yeah, that is true. I find I'm just better live, but that maybe it's just an Abby statement rather than a generic across the board statement of, getting my energy and my attention and my focus while it's live.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, of course you want a big audience when you're presenting live. You know, as I said, again, the virtual technology and the innovation that we now have just, again, goes back to that. We have to meet people where they want to consume. Some people want to consume live, other people want to watch on demand. Everyone also has different learning styles, you know, so one size and like events, one size doesn't always, fit.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to actually sum it up, because I think, you know, you look now at, we've got to be engaging with multiple stakeholders across multiple channels in a very much 24/7 environment. And some want it this way, some want it that way, some want in person, some want virtual. And I think it's almost that essence of boiling that down to meet people where they're at and give them the choice. And that's what, you know, you're just talking to there.
Absolutely. And when you think about the output for you, that will give you the highest return on investment.
Yep. Fantastic. Amy, thank you so, so, so much for joining us. I have loved that conversation. I have got notes written down of things that we're certainly going to implement immediately. And I feel like I've got a good lesson this morning. So thank you so much for your time. We will leave a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes so that if anyone wants to connect with you, hopefully they can do so there.
Wonderful. Sounds good. And thanks for the opportunity. Great to speak to you, Abby.
Before you leave us, doors have officially opened for our next intake of RevUp. Doors will be closing on the 30th of June. Now, if you have not heard about RevUp, this is our new revenue enablement where your revenue generating teams will all come together to learn from leading experts. The experts that we have lined up to teach the RevUp system are absolutely incredible. We have LinkedIn teaching social selling. We have Julie Masters teaching influence. We have Maz Farrelly, whose content has had 8 billion views, teaching us about storytelling and standing out from the crowd. We have Jay Pottinger teaching us about productivity and many more. We will go through the entire journey of how do you rev up your sales aligned to these leading experts. So if you want to check out RevUp before the doors close on the 30th of June, then simply click the link in our show notes and visit member.salesredefined.com.au, and you can find out all the details you need to know, or you can book in for a chat. We love to have a chat to see whether it's the right fit for your revenue generating teams.